number four before we take a break, which is a decision. Holstein and DeBab Fish Bay Flat Fish Sport Rules. So Davey and Craig.
Yeah, I know.
Can you give the screens just a second?
Good morning, Mr. Chair, Commissioners, Director Ensworth. For the record, Craig Burley, Fish Management Division Manager, with me.
Dr. Dave Lowry, Puget Sound Marine Fish Research Scientist.
So today we would like to give you a brief presentation on the rule action today regarding flatfish sport fishing rules in Quilcene and DeBab Bay. What we'd like to do is give you a little bit of background, the process and schedule we've used to get to this point, talk about the rule proposal itself, the analysis that the department has done, a summary of the public comments, and as you requested at the briefing in April, we've developed a couple options for the commission to consider, and then we'll move into commission action. So by way of background, again, the Hood Canal has a situation where there's low dissolved oxygen that events that occur. These are due in part based on the configuration of the canal. It also is resultant from freshwater inflow and nutrients from the upland sources. This sill at the head of the canal, together with these inflows of nutrients and fresh water, and poor mixing results in highly stratified water column, which results in periodic low dissolved oxygen events. So in 2004, the department closed commercial and recreational fishing in Hood Canal due to these low dissolved oxygen conditions. And we're looking to try to maintain healthy populations faced with this situation. This past year, the department did receive a petition to allow bottom fishing in the North Hood Canal region and DeBab Bay. And at the October commission conference call, staff were directed to initiate rulemaking to look at allowing some limited opportunity for selected bottom fish species in the shallow water portions of Quilcene Bay and DeBab Bay. And this is identified as an area north of a true east line from the Point Whitney boat launch to the Tawandos Peninsula. So after the commission conference call on October 17th, the department filed a CR 101, which initiates the rulemaking, indicates to the public that we're considering rulemaking. And in March of 2015, we filed the CR 102 that provided the specific language for the regulation. We also took public comment from March through the 1st of April on this proposal. And on March 19th, we conducted a public meeting at the Port Townsend office of the department. As I mentioned, April 10th, we provided the briefing to the commission here and conducted the public hearing, and here we are today for commission action. So with respect to the rule that was proposed, this is a map that shows the area that we're talking about, and we're talking about the area north of the black dashed line there from Point Whitney across to the Tawandos Peninsula. And we're also focused on allowing the fishing in those waters shallower than 120 feet, and that's indicated by this red contour line that goes around the 120-foot depth line. So it's from the red line shoreward is the area that's proposed to be open under this rule. The rule would allow fishing year-round, our standard 15 fish daily limit, and it would include flatfish except halibut, and this would be the sole flounder and other flatfish species.
So we've presented this analysis to the commission before, but just to recap, essentially looking at this area, we didn't have a lot of information. It's a very small area on the, you know, within Hood Canal itself, and it hadn't been independently assessed, but we did have some sampling that had been done in the area or, you know, nearby or in similar habitats within Hood Canal. So what we did was look at all data sources that we had available to us, including bottom trawl surveys, remotely operated vehicle surveys, which we've been doing the last several years, scuba surveys, and drop camera data from the mid-90s through the early 2000s. And as I said, there was limited information in this specific area, but we did have information just south. We had information elsewhere in Hood Canal. And specifically as a result of this study, as part of a second study that we're doing right now, we actually went into the area and collected some additional ROV footage. So our initial analysis here, just kind of breaking out geographic areas and looking within the canal itself and then the canal versus other areas, we looked at a couple of different species to see if there was any good indication that we had more flatfish in this area or at least as many flatfish in this area as we have in other areas that are currently being fished. And so we looked at lingcod. We had very limited data there. For English sole, between the north and the south canal, you can see there's a reasonable break for several years where the northern canal seems to have higher population levels. This was also true for spiny dogfish. For quillback rockfish, it was kind of equivocal. There were years in which either the north or the south end of the canal would have more fish. When we then tried to compare Hood Canal to other areas, so northern Puget Sound, basically north of Port Townsend or the Strait of Juanafuca and the San Juan Islands versus Puget Sound proper or everything south of Port Townsend, we tried to compare and contrast just Hood Canal, this subbasin, with those two broader areas. And again, for lingcod, no clear trend here, kind of equivocal. For quillback, same kind of thing. Fairly low levels of quillback in the last several years. For English sole, though, which was one of the flatfish species that is fairly prominent in Hood Canal, you can see that the numbers in Hood Canal are actually higher than they are elsewhere in the Sound. For spiny dogfish, again, equivocal data. We're only showing these species here, but we did analysis for other species as well. So starry flounder showed a similar trend to the English sole. The numbers were not quite so high. So in one respect, this is kind of the best-case scenario here is English sole. There's apparently fairly high numbers. For starry flounder, it's similar. It's still higher than other areas in the Sound, but not quite this exaggerated trend. So as I said, we didn't have area-specific data, so we went back and did some work with the ROV as part of another study that we're doing currently looking for ESA-listed rockfish habitat. What we found, and we've still not completed the video analysis here, but just in the field evaluating what we were seeing, we didn't see any rockfish habitat, which is a major concern to opening up any bottom fish fisheries here. We saw essentially mud flats, shallow, muddy, and sandy areas, a little bit of cobble in some of these areas, but not really any heavy vegetation that would even support juvenile rockfish. We did see English sole, starry flounder, other small flatfish. Many of these are too small for us to identify as species with the ROV, but they are juvenile flatfish or small sand dabs, things like that. And they were plentiful. They were at levels that we see elsewhere. And again, we still don't have quantitative data for that, but just kind of looking at our evaluation of as we pass over these sites, how frequently are we seeing these fish versus ROV sites conducted or ROV surveys conducted elsewhere in the Sound. And it seemed pretty typical, I would say. We both saw flatfish in shallow water and the deeper water. So the 120-foot rule that the red line was showing on the map earlier indicates that rule or that depth past which barotrauma issues with rockfish are more pronounced. And so we saw flatfish both in the shallows and in the deep, indicating that if you were to fish in the shallows, fish move. So by all likelihood, if you were to fish in the shallows, the fish that are occurring in the deeper waters would tend to move into those shallows and move in and between them, both the deep water and the shallow water, over the course of the season. So fish were well distributed across that depth line.
So turning to the comments that were received, we had 37 comments that came into the agency either online via our web or in written form through email primarily. We also had seven members of the public attend the meeting in Port Townsend. And as you recall, we had one person testify at the commission public hearing. What we saw then was about 89% of the comments we received either were in support or supported with concerns. We had 4% that were neutral and 7% opposed. In general, though, I think that if I could distill it down, the two major points that we heard were in support of this proposal or support with concerns. Folks wanted to see more of the Hood Canal open to fishing and would like to see additional species open. And those were kind of the big overriding comments that we heard. Relative to opposition or comments that were neutral, there were some concerns about illegal harvest of rockfish potentially occurring, and that there was some opposition unless this was open for other species. So based on the public comment that the agency heard and the discussion that the commission had at the briefing, the department's proposing two options for your consideration today. And let me just give you a bit of orientation on this map. What this shows is the original proposal that's indicated by the letter A there at the Point Whitney boat ramp, and it goes across the northernmost section of Daybob Bay there and includes Quilcene. The second option that the department's proposing is the line indicated by B or option B, and this is a line that runs true east from the Turner Creek over to Tawandos Peninsula. And also there's the blue contour line that's at the 120-foot depth restriction. The department continues to propose that fishing only be allowed in those waters shallower than 120 feet in either of the two options. The red crosshatch section is an overlay of the juvenile rockfish critical habitat that NOAA Fisheries has designated. And then the yellow area is the rockfish adult critical habitat. And so when we were looking at these options, we also looked at an option that would run from the Pleasant Harbor marina across to the Tawandos Peninsula. However, we elected not to consider that or propose that as an option due to observations of listed rockfish that are present in that area northwards. So in sharing these proposed options with NOAA Fisheries, they were in support of either option B or A here on the map. So staff are proposing that you consider, or our preferred option is option B, and it is option B for a couple of reasons. This area, moving that line south to the Turner Creek, includes a couple of camp areas that we heard were important from the public to allow fishing, particularly Camp Parsons. We have Boy Scouts that utilize that camp on an annual basis, and they have a fishing merit badge, and this would allow the campers, the Boy Scouts, to get that merit badge while at that camp. This also does include two boat ramps in Quilcene Bay, as well as at our Point Whitney boat ramp. It doesn't extend as far as was requested from Pleasant Harbor, but it does reduce that travel time from Pleasant Harbor up to this fishing area. And then, as I mentioned, it is north of observed listed rockfish species. So those are the recommendations from the department in your notebook under the tab for this item. You have the proposed WAC language for option B. And in the summary sheet, there's draft motion language for your consideration for either option A or B. And with that, we'd entertain any questions you might have.
Questions from the commission? Mr. Grable.
Not so much a question, Craig, but a thank you for responding to the public comment. It was here, and there was only one representative that came to that meeting, but we did respond to his request, which was a safety issue. And it not only, option B not only represents your listening to that safety issue, but as you've just mentioned, it also encompasses some campgrounds and some other needs of that community and the activity we can anticipate there. And I really appreciate seeing option B here today as opposed to option A, which was the original proposal.
Thank you, Commissioner Graybill.
The other, Commissioner Kirkner.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Before I make the motion, I just want to compliment you folks and your staffs. This seemed like a very smooth process from beginning to end. It seemed like there was good communication with the public. It just seemed to work very well. For that, I thank you.
Thank you.
After saying that, I move to adopt WAC 220-56-230, bottom fish and halibut, closed areas, and WAC 220-56-235, possession limits, bottom fish as presented in option B.
I second.
Motion's been made, seconded by Commissioner Wecker. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of the motion as put forward signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion carries.